Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You've sent us some really fascinating source material this time. YouTube transcript bits, a detailed article, all focusing on one, well, truly crucial moment in sports history.
Yeah.
The 1962 U.S. Open at Oakmont.
Yeah, and this wasn't just, you know, any major. This tournament, this specific event, it really feels like the place where golf's biggest rivalry properly kicked off.
Right. It's where a young Jack Nicklaus really announced himself, taking his first major, changed everything.
Absolutely set the stage for, well, decades of golf.
Exactly. So our mission today is to dig into these sources you sent. We want to pull out the key stuff, the surprising bits, get a feel for what it was actually like, and really understand why this tournament just outside Pittsburgh became such a huge deal. It's Palmer versus Nicklaus, basically.
On a course that was just brutal, with everything riding on it.
Okay, let's dive into these sources and see what they reveal about that clash.
Sounds good. Where should we start? The setting seems crucial here.
Yeah, definitely. So the 1962 U.S. Open, June 14th to 17th, Oakmont Country Club, Oakmont, Pennsylvania. Now, why is that location so important?
Well, Oakmont's a suburb right near Pittsburgh. And that is absolutely key because, well, La Trobe, Arnold Palmer's hometown, isn't far away at all.
Ah, okay. So this was essentially a home game for Palmer.
Pretty much. You can just imagine the atmosphere, the crowd support. It was intense.
Arnie's Army territory.
Completely. But, you know, beyond the Palmer connection, Oakmont itself is like a main character in this story. The sources are crystal clear on this. It's one of golf's toughest tests, period.
It definitely has that reputation. How did it play that specific week, according to the sources?
Let's see. It was set up at 6,894 yards, par 71, for the championship. And it wasn't its first rodeo. You know, it had hosted U.S. Opens, PGA championships before.
So its reputation was well-earned by 62.
Oh, yeah. And the winning score kind of tells the tale, right? Yeah. Minus one. And that was after a playoff.
Yeah.
It just shows you how demanding it was.
So what makes Oakmont so difficult? What do the sources highlight?
The greens. Always the greens at Oakmont. They talk about them being incredibly slick, super fast with these crazy undulations. Just terrifying if your putting wasn't absolutely on point.
Okay.
And then you've got the bunkers, deep ones, like those famous church pews.
Right. Iconic.
And really thick, rough, just waiting to grab any shot that wasn't perfect. The course wasn't just like scenery. It actively shaped the outcome. It magnified every little mistake, especially around the greens.
Okay, so you've got this monster of a course, primed to challenge the best. And then you have the players. In 62, golf really had a king, and this tournament introduced his biggest challenger.
Absolutely. On one side, Arnold Palmer. By 1962, he was just the man. The undisputed king of golf, peak of his game, peak of his popularity. Huge.
He already had the 1960 U.S. Open title. Five majors total by them.
Yeah, five majors. He was more than just a golfer, though, wasn't he? He was a cultural icon.
The sources paint that picture vividly. The swashbuckler, charismatic, that aggressive style, the famous patented charges.
He just connected with people. He had this, you know, fighter spirit, that blue-collar appeal. People related to him.
And that swing, so unique, kind of violent almost, but instantly recognizable.
Right. And he played to the crowd. He acknowledged them, talked to people walking down the fairway. Yeah. Arnie's Army wasn't just a nickname. It was real. They adored him. He was their guy.
And stepping onto the stage, challenging this icon, was a very young, relatively new professional.
Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
Only 22 years old at Oakmont. Turned pro just 6 months earlier.
He wasn't exactly unknown, though. The sources mention he was the reigning U.S. amateur champion.
True. He had a stellar amateur career. But to a lot of people there, especially Arnie's Army, he was just this upstart. Some even called him, kind of dismissively, the fat boy from Ohio State.
Hmm. Reading about his background in the sources is interesting. Grew up in Columbus, Ohio. Middle-class family. Dad was a pharmacist.
Charlie, yeah. Apparently his dad was his best friend, got him into sports.
Yeah.
And Charlie really admired Bobby Jones.
And he took Jack to see Jones play. That seems significant.
It does. Apparently Jack wanted to be the next Bobby Jones. Specifically trying to match his amateur record. That was a big goal for him early on.
He was a good all-around athlete, but golf took over. Coached by Jack Grout.
Who gave him that classic advice? Hit it high and hit it long. Simple but effective for Jack.
And he'd already shown flashes, right? Won the U.S. Amateur in 59 and finished second to Palmer at the 1960 U.S. Open.
Yeah.
As an amateur.
Yeah, that 1960 Open was a big sign. Held the lead late, too. The potential was clearly there.
It seems he really struggled with the decision to turn pro, though. Even Bobby Jones apparently encouraged him to stay amateur.
Right. But that competitive drive won out. he wanted to test himself against the very best. It wasn't an easy start, though, professionally.
No, the sources mentioned he tied for last in his first official event, on something like $33.
$33.33, yeah. Humbling start.
And there's that story, which the sources seem to back up, about Palmer giving him some advice early on.
Oh, yeah, the classic one. Palmer apparently put his arm around him and said something like, "Just take it easy, kid. Finish second by yourself here." Sort of friendly, but also, you know,
a little patronizing, maybe. Shows how Palmer viewed him initially.
Exactly. But, you know, while it quickly became the Palmer Nicklaus show, we should remember the field was strong. It wasn't just them at the start.
Good point. The sources mention others.
Yeah, you had Gene Littler, the defending champ. Gary Player was there, part of that future Big Three. Guys like Bobby Nichols, Phil Rogers, Bob Rosberg, they were all in the mix early on.
Okay, so setting, players. Let's get into the tournament itself. How did it actually play out day by day?
Well, almost like it was scripted, Palmer and Nicklaus were paired together for the first two rounds, Thursday and Friday.
Really? Wow. That must have drawn huge attention.
Huge doesn't even cover it. The sources talk about record-breaking crowds for a U.S. Open, like over 17,000 Thursday, almost 20,000 Friday. The interest was just immense.
So how did they do, playing side by side?
Littler actually led after round one with a 69. Palmer shot 71, Nicklaus 72, so close.
Okay.
Then in round two, Palmer shot a really good 68. That put him in a tie for the lead with Rosberg at 3-under. Nicklaus shot 70, solid, stayed right there at even par, three shots back. Very much in it.
And the crowd during those rounds, you mentioned the Palmer support. Did it get difficult for Nicklaus?
Intense is putting it mildly. Mm-hmm. The sources describe it as overwhelmingly pro-Palmer, which you'd expect. But sometimes it apparently crossed the line into being hostile towards Nicklaus.
How so?
Well, mentions of fans being boisterous and insulting, heckling him, calling him Fat Jack, holding up signs like, "Hey, Jack, hit the ball here," cheering his bogeys, even apparently stomping feet on the greens when he putted.
Wow. That's pretty rough. How did Nicklaus cope with that? He was only 22.
His famous line, according to the sources, was, "I never heard a thing. Just total focus on his game." Whether that's completely literal or his mental strategy, who knows, but it worked.
Remarkable focus, if true.
It really is.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the sources also suggest Palmer himself wasn't comfortable with how some fans treated Nicklaus. He was reportedly kind of uneasy about it, disturbed even.
Even Arnie thought his army maybe went a bit overboard.
Seems like it, yeah.
Okay, so after those first two rounds, Saturday was the marathon day, right? 36 holes back then.
Yep, 36 holes on Saturday. After the morning round, the third round, the leaderboard was super tight.
Who was up there?
Palmer was tied for the lead with Bobby Nichols at 1-under. Phil Rogers and Rosberg were right behind at even par. And Nicklaus, along with Gary Player, were just two shots back at 1-over. Still anybody's tournament.
So the final round, Saturday afternoon, did it quickly become the Palmer-Nicklaus battle everyone expected?
It really did. It narrowed down to them pretty quickly on that back nine. Palmer had a slight edge making the turn, but then came a really key moment on the par 5 ninth hole.
Yes, I remember reading about this. A costly bogey for Palmer.
Exactly. He missed an 8-foot putt for par. And the sources say he really regretted that specific putt later. It felt like a turning point.
How so?
Well, Nicklaus birdied the 11th. Then Palmer bogeyed the 13th. And just like that, boom, they were tied.
Wow.
Nicklaus finished really strong. Shot a 69, 2-under for the round, posting a total of 283, 1-under par for the championship. He actually had a putt on 18 for birdie to win it outright.
But he missed.
Narrowly missed. So the door was open for Palmer.
Arnie comes to the 18th, needing a birdie to win the U.S. Open on home turf.
The drama. He had about a 12-footer for the win. Wow. He missed it too. Finished with a 71 for the round. Tied with Nicklaus at 283, 1-under. Unbelievable. Both had putts to win, both missed.
Setting up an 18-hole playoff for Sunday. Palmer versus Nicklaus at Oakmont. Doesn't get much bigger.
The atmosphere Sunday must have been off the charts. Still incredibly pro-Palmer, right?
Oh, completely. 10,000 people showed up just for the playoff. And yeah, Palmer's army was there in full force, pulling for their hero against the young guy. Nicklaus was definitely still the outsider.
Yeah, the sources really stress how composed Nicklaus was right from the start of that playoff.
It's amazing. Despite all that pressure, the hostile crowd, he came out incredibly sharp, built a 4-stroke lead over Palmer after just 6 holes. 4 strokes already.
Yeah, just 6 holes in.
Yeah.
A stunning start under those conditions. Just showed incredible focus and execution.
But you can never count Palmer out, especially at Oakmont, with his army behind him. Did he make a run?
Oh, you know he did. It's Arnie. He absolutely mounted one of his patented charges. Birdied the 9th, then the 11th, then the 12th.
Wow.
Suddenly that four-stroke lead was down to just one. The place must have been going crazy. The momentum felt like it was swinging back.
And then the 13th hole again. That hole seemed pivotal all week.
It really was the turning point in the playoff, too. But this time, it haunted Palmer. He had a costly three-putt bogey there.
Ouch.
Yeah. And the sources note, you could almost see it deflate his charge. It just took the wind out of his sails right when he was making his move.
And Nicholas's, the kid who never heard a thing. He just held steady.
He did. Kept his poise, played solid golf down the stretch. He ended up shooting an even par 71 for the playoff round.
Which was enough to win.
By three strokes. Palmer finished with a 74. Nicholas wins his first professional tournament, and it's the U.S. Open.
Incredible. There was a little confusion at the end, wasn't there? On 18th?
A slight bit. Palmer, maybe just gutted, tried to concede the final short putt and actually picked up Jack's ball marker. But the USGA official stepped in, told Nicholas he had to hole out to make the score official. Just a small footnote, really.
So Nicholas wins, and the sources seem incredibly clear on why he won, pointing to one huge statistical difference.
Yeah, this is where the analysis in the sources gets really specific, and it's probably the single biggest takeaway from the whole championship. It all came down to putting.
On Oakmont's greens, that makes sense,
right.
But the numbers are just stark.
They really are. It highlights just how unbelievably good Nicholas's touch and nerve were that week. Over 90 holes, the 72 regulation plus the 18 playoff Jack Nicklaus had only one three-putt.
One three-putt on Oakmont greens. That's almost impossible to believe.
It's staggering, isn't it? Just phenomenal control, green reading, everything under immense pressure. Now, compare that to Palmer.
What do the sources say about Arnie's putting?
They say he struggled a lot. The numbers vary slightly between sources, but they put his total number of three putts over those same 90 holes somewhere between 10 and 13.
10 to 13 three putts versus one.
Exactly. That disparity is just massive. Think about the strokes lost. On any course, that's tough to overcome. On Oakmont's greens, it's fatal.
Palmer himself even said putting took me down, didn't he?
He did. And those specific moments we talked about that missed 8-footer on 9 in the final round, the 3-putt on 13 in the playoff, those are direct consequences. Just brutal on a course where every stroke mattered so much. That putting difference was arguably the deciding factor.
So this victory for Nicholas, it wasn't just any win. It was loaded with historical significance right away.
Oh, absolutely monumental. I mean, think about it. His very first win as a professional.
And it happens to be a major championship.
The U.S. Open, no less. The first of his record, 18 majors. The first of his four U.S. Opens.
And there was that link to Bobby Jones, too.
Right. At 22, he was the youngest U.S. Open champ since Jones in 1923. But even bigger, he became the first player since Jones himself, way back in 1930, to hold both the U.S. Open and U.S. Amateur titles at the same time.
Wow. That puts him in legendary company immediately.
Instantly. It signaled this was something special, not just a one-off victory.
How did Palmer handle it? Losing the Open in his backyard in a playoff to this young guy.
You know, by all accounts, incredibly graciously. Obviously, deeply disappointed, probably crushed, but he was classy. And that famous quote of his,
now that the big guy is out of the cage,
everybody better run for cover.
Yeah.
That wasn't just conceding defeat. It was him immediately recognizing and stating publicly how good Nicholas was and what this meant for golf. It really helped frame the whole thing.
It acknowledged the arrival, didn't it?
Perfectly. But for Palmer, the sources note, this loss kind of kicked off a frustrating period at the U.S. Open.
How so?
Well, over the next 6 years after Oakmont, he finished runner-up four times in the U.S. Open. Four times. And three of those were playoff losses. 62, 63, and 66. Just couldn't quite get over the line again. A really tough run in his national championship.
Oof. But the biggest legacy, the thing everyone points to from Oakmont 62, is the rivalry.
This is it. This is ground zero. The 1962 U.S. Open is universally seen as the true start, the ignition point of the Palmer-Nicholas rivalry.
The king versus the challenger.
Contrasting styles, unbelievable competitive fire, but also that mutual respect. They basically defined golf for a generation, maybe more, and having their first major showdown decided in a head-to-head playoff. You couldn't write a better script.
It fueled the narrative for years.
Absolutely. And the sources mentioned the financial side, too. Record crowds meant success there. Nicholas won $17,500, Palmer $10,500, including playoff gate money. Shows the huge spectator interest they generated together.
So let's pull this all together then. What does this deep dive into the 1962 U.S. Open really tell us?
Well, it's clearly about more than just one golf tournament, right? It's the origin story of maybe the greatest rivalry in the sport. It's about a sort of passing of the torch, or at least the beginning of the challenge for it.
And it's a stark reminder of the intense pressure of major championship golf.
Especially on a course like Oakmont that just asks so many questions.
We saw this young player, Nick Laus, maybe underestimated or even disliked by parts of the crowd.
Right, the villain in some eyes there.
Use incredible mental strength and, crucially, that phenomenal putting performance to beat the game's biggest star on his home turf.
And we saw how even a legend like Tolmer, at the height of his game, could be undone by, well, putting. Those few missed putts on those incredibly tough greens made all the difference.
It wasn't just Nick Laus's first major win. It felt like the moment the golf world really understood Palmer's quote, "The big guy truly was out of the page."
Ready to challenge the king, ready to start his climb to becoming, you know, arguably the greatest ever. It set the stage for everything that followed between them.
It really did. Okay, here's something to think about as we wrap up this deep dive, based on what we've discussed from the sources. We know Palmer struggled badly with putting, and Nicholas was amazing. That was key.
The stats bear that out clearly.
But given that incredibly partisan crowd, the pressure cooker atmosphere supporting Palmer, almost willing him to win, and actively pressuring Nicholas, do you think maybe that intense home crowd pressure could have, ironically, contributed more to Palmer's putting struggles on those difficult greens than it affected the super-focused young Nicholas? Could the weight of expectation have hurt Arnie's touch just enough?